I just love it. Hallelujah. Amen. God is just awesome. Thank God for a dear friend of mine, Brother Keith, and his lovely wife back there. I've known them for ages. Amen. Amen. So I'm excited. Amen. Are you excited? Amen. You ready to receive the word of God? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just give God some praise. And we're going to ask you to stand to your feet and we're going to pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Father. Father, we thank you and we bless you, God. Hallelujah, for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for this opportunity that you've given, Lord God, all of us to receive from you. Thank you for this congregation, Lord God. I pray that you would give them ears to hear what your spirit is saying. And Lord God, hallelujah, that they would be transformed, hallelujah, by a renewing of their mind, Lord God, that your word, Lord God, would penetrate, Lord God, and permeate, Lord God, in their very being. So touch them right now. I pray even for myself, Lord God, that you would bless me, Lord God, and use me as a vessel, Lord God, that speaks only what you want me to speak, Lord God. If anything is not like you, I pray that you would strike me down, Lord God, for I need not to be in your very presence if I'm going to, Lord God, use your glory for my self-gain. So, Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, Lord God. Use me, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen.
Amen.
Amen. You could be seated, amen, in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I thank God for this assignment. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Again, for the pastor. And you haven't seen nothing, Pastor. Amen. That was nothing. I mean, it's something, amen, but God has more in store for you and this church. Amen. Hallelujah. My assignment is to speak to the men, and happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. I love men. I love women too, but I want to thank God for my lovely wife here. Amen. Would you just stand? I know you. Amen. Hallelujah. She. Amen. I thank God for her. Amen. She's been my rock, you know, and I know we're celebrating Father's Day, but I thank God for my wife. Amen. She's been there. Amen. Through all my trials and tribulations, she done stuck with me. I've been through some stuff. You're looking at somebody. If I told you my story, you probably say, no, you can't. That did not happen to you. It doesn't look like it. Amen. But that's how God is. God takes us through our trials and tribulations, amen. We're being in the fire, amen, and we come out, we don't even smell like it, amen. That's the way God is, amen. I was shooting drugs ever since I was 13 years old. I was a drug addict in the streets of Newark, New Jersey. Ran into almost all the projects, amen. Did some awful, awful things, amen. But God delivered me. He delivered me through the times of me being in prison, being in a stockade with grown men. I was at the age of 17 years old, doing federal time with men that was twice as big as me, probably twice as strong as me, but God kept me. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And so I've been through some things, and I had some men in my life that really was speaking to me, but I was a little hard-headed. Any men know what I'm talking about? Anybody been hard-headed? Brother Keith's wife trying to get him to raise his head. Need some help telling the truth, right? And the sister, she quoted, amen, James 5:16, I believe it is, amen, that we should confess our sins. You know, that's how we get healed, amen. I had to confess some things. God, this is what I've done. This is who I am. And I don't like it. I don't like who I am. Amen. And I need a change. Because I see, amen, that the people that, if I know I don't like who I am, maybe my wife don't like who I am. Hello? And my children don't like who I am. Because we had a child, amen. She had a child, or we had a child, at the age of 15 years old. She was 14 and I was 16. Or 15 and I was, I think it was, right? Am I getting it right? Somewhere in there. But I know she got pregnant when she was 13 years old. So she was 14 when she had the child, amen. I was young. We were both young. Amen. And so my daughter is actually around about 45 years old. My oldest daughter is around about 45 years old now. She's a pastor. Amen. Amen. Come on, that's right. Give God some praise. Amen. Beautiful husband. Amen. Man of God. She's a woman of God. Amen. And so, as the pastor said, I do have 5 children. Amen. And few of them are pastors, amen. And so we tried to raise them godly, amen. So I just wanted to share a little bit about myself, amen. I want you to take your Bibles, amen, if you have the Word of God with you, amen. You might be using your smartphone, amen. So I want you to use your smartphone to do smart things, amen. Many folks, amen, use their smartphone to do dumb things, amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to be sharing with you, amen, and I really want to speak to the hearts of men. I want to speak to the hearts of men. Why is this society failing? And what part does the church play? What part does the Christian play in building, amen, a righteous home, a righteous community? Amen. See, we can point the finger. We can point the finger at the world. We can point the finger at the government. But what part do I play? Amen. What part do you play as a Christian? Amen. Because we have to play a part and we have to be responsible for who God has called us to be. Amen. How many understand what I'm talking about? Amen. We really need to do that. We need to be responsible for what my role is. Amen. Listen to this. You know, I hear people talk about, the way we are is because they took prayer out to school. Yeah, they took prayer out to school, but they didn't take it out your house. Come on in here, huh? Your responsibility is to pray at home with your children. To live a godly life at home. And then it transforms throughout into our community. The government has not taken that away from us yet. I say yet. Because they're trying to. But we need to, and that's why we need to be very vigilant at what we're doing. Amen? The scripture in Genesis 17 and 1. Let's look at it just for a minute. I'm going to read this, 17, and I'm going to read all the way to the 7th verse. Amen. And it's about Abram or Abraham. If you have it, say, I got it. Okay, it reads this. Now, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. Say blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be the father. Listen, men, you will be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of multiple nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. Amen. So here we have God, amen, making a covenant with Abraham, and he tells him how he's going to be a father, a provider. Amen. A generator. Amen. How he's going to be a protector, because that's what father really means. Amen. That's what father really means. Amen. The foundation. Say foundation. Foundation. The foundation. Amen. For this planet, actually, this world that you live, your world. Amen. Men, you need to step your game up. Amen. So God is saying, I made a covenant with, amen, men, amen, to be these things. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Women want a good man. Hello, women. Amen. Huh? How many women want a good man? Just shout this in the atmosphere. Say, men, step your game up. That's right. See, I had to step my game up. I was failing my wife, amen. Because I'm telling you, she's been faithful. She's been with me a long time. Amen. And I've been through some stuff, and she's been right there. Let me tell you, I was homeless, living in Penn Station, eating out of garbage cans. And my wife, she was working in a Christian school in Jersey City. And I seen her, she would go have to catch the bus and the train to get to Jersey City. And I would be in Penn Station. And I would see her with my children. I would have to hide myself behind them columns. How many understand what I'm talking about? Watching her struggle going to work, amen, at a Christian school. And I was filthy and dirty, desolate. Failing at being a man. Now, some of you, that's not your men, that's not your story. But the cry is still out there that women want a true man. And guess what? I realized something, because days after days I would see her, amen. She didn't see me, but I would see her. She didn't even, at first, she didn't even know where I was at. Her and my mother was calling the hospitals and all around looking for me as a missing person, wondering where I was at. But I realized something that God was doing, especially now, I realized that God was doing some work in me, because a lot of times we have to go inside the pit. Ask Joseph. Joseph, they threw Joseph in a pit. And there, amen, we cry out. I cried out for help. I cried out to the Lord. Help, I don't know what to do, God. Help me. And guess what? God sent a couple more days or a week later, amen, God sent a person, amen, to come through Penn Station and help me. Amen? And that was, I needed to step my game up. Now, I don't know, men, I don't know where you're at, but God got me here for a reason. I don't know where the men is at, amen, right here, amen. But God is just keep giving me this word, step your game up. You're doing great. You think you're doing great, but guess what? You could be greater. How many want to be greater? Amen. There's a scripture in Psalms. Psalms 11. Go to Psalms 11 quickly. Psalms 11, it says this. Psalms 11. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul? Flee as a bird to your mountains. For lo, the wicked bind their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. Now, here's the Psalms of David, amen, and he's saying how the wicked is ready to destroy, amen, the territory. How the wicked is ready to destroy and take away, amen, from the church. And he says this in verse 3. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Y'all see that? Y'all see this scripture? If the foundation, say foundation. Now let me tell you who the foundation is. The foundation is the man. Oh God. That's what, if you look up the word male, amen, it really means foundation. It's the foundation. And it says, if the foundation be destroyed, listen to this, what can the righteous do? Women, you are the righteous. You are the righteous. There's more women in the church than there is males. You're the one that's kind of the glue, like holding it together. Because guess what? The foundation is being destroyed. Oh, y'all got to get this. Are y'all getting this? The foundation is being destroyed. The male is the foundation. And if we look around at our churches and our society, guess what's lacking? The male. Because it's being destroyed. And it's going to take the male to start. We got to start regenerating ourselves, amen, instead of destroying ourselves, because the enemy got us destroying ourselves. What's keeping the males out of the church? What's keeping the men out of this church? I go around to a lot of churches. I go to Teen Challenge. We go, me and Pastor Paul, we go like once a month, we go to Teen Challenge and we preach and we tell men how to be men. And there's a failing there. Because they want to blame, amen, society, and they want to blame everybody else, amen. But it's not about blaming somebody else. Is about responding. If you look at the word, I wish I had a blackboard. The word responsibility. It really is saying respond to your ability. Oh God. Men, we need to respond to our abilities. And the enemy doesn't want us to respond to our abilities. Amen. They don't, the enemy don't want us to come forth and come and step out and say, this is who I am and this is who I need to be for the kingdom of God. Are y'all getting this? Amen. I know I'm on the time limit, right? Huh? My wife said, you better put them on the time. Hallelujah. Come on, computer. All right. So we read this about Genesis, in Genesis about Abraham, and it's really about him being a father and his descendants, because I need to get to this text. It's about that, his descendants, his, what he's supposed to produce. Amen. He needs to respond to the ability that God has placed in his life. Now, let's go over to Joshua. Go to Joshua 24 and 15. Joshua 24. And 15. I'm going to read, I like the New American Standard Version. I also like still like the King James Version. I'm going to read both of them. Amen. It says this in the King James. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's what I wanted to talk about. I got 4 points I want to share with you. Amen. Because Joshua is making a statement here in front of thousands, or almost a million of Israelites. Amen. He's confronted and he goes to the promised land, but he remembers what God has placed in him. He remembers what God has placed in Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He remembers, amen, who God called him to be. He remembers, amen, the promises that God placed in Moses' life. Am I talking right in here? Amen. You got to start remembering, amen, the promises that God has called you to do. Men, pay attention. God is calling you to do great things. Women, look at your man and say, God has called you to do some great things. Look at that boy, amen, that's next to you and say, God has called you to do some great things. Men, receive that, because guess what? My wife has to speak into my life and say sometimes when I don't want to go, and she says, God has called you to do some great things. Amen. I know you have to remind him sometimes that he can't quit. Because I, as a pastor, I quit the job, oh man, every day. I quit this job. See, Joshua, amen, he's dealing with something here, amen. He understands, amen, about what Noah is going through, what Noah went through, what Abraham went through, what Joshua went through, what Moses went through. He remembers all of those things. Amen? Yes, amen. But listen to this covenant, amen, because he says something. Today is the... It is in the word of a servant named Joshua who responds from earth. Amen. As for me and my house. As for me and my house. Listen to the responsibility. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. This is the covenant of God. Amen. And Joshua takes it to heart. Amen. It's an obligation. Say responsibility. It's a responsibility, but he takes it as an obligation, and it really means the same thing. Amen. Amen. For being one of the fathers of this earth. Amen. My responsibility, I understand my purpose in life. My purpose in life is doing what I'm doing right now, to preach to men. Amen. So much, amen, that guess what? Years ago, I opened a house, amen. Matter of fact, the house belonged to my mother and father. My mother and father lived on the second floor. They had a little business on the first floor. And my mother was this great woman of faith, amen. And she supported, amen, me, because she said the same thing. God has called you to do great things, son. Your purpose is not to be a drug addict. Your purpose is not to be in the gutter. Your purpose is not to be homeless. Your purpose is not to be, amen, a man that make babies and not take care of them. Your purpose is to be great. Oh, come on. Come on, men, you need to know that your purpose is to be great. And so I opened up a home. She gave me the third floor of this house. Amen. And then people thought I was crazy. And I said, I'm going to go down to Penn Station where I came from, and I'm going to start gathering up all these homeless people, and I'm going to change their lives. And I put them in this house over my mother and father. Come on, you got to be a person of faith. You got to be believing some stuff. Matter of fact, yesterday I was at a men's meeting, amen, and some of those same young men showed up, amen, and they shared with the other brothers, amen, how Pastor Reddick believed in us and said that we would be great. And now they're doing some great things in the city of Newark. One of the brothers said, Pastor Reddick opened up his house and took me in and clothed me and fed me. See, because that's what the real deal about discipleship, and that's one of the things that's missing in the church, is that Jesus, he discipled, amen, these men for 3 years. He walked with them. He talked with them. He ate with them. He slept with them for 3 years. So my wife gave me permission to live in this house, not for 3 years, but 6 months. Because God, Jesus said, you're going to do greater work. So I had to, I lived in this house and I walked with these men for 6 months. We went out evangelizing. The power of showing them the power of God that's in all of us, really. Amen. But they were seeing the power of God moving. So I had a band of men, amen, because at one time I kind of broke some rules, amen. I almost had 20 men up in a four-room bed. I said, But I'm sure, and guess what? There were men that would come in and say, Pat, I said, I don't have no room. I will sleep on the floor. I need a change in my life. I will sleep on the floor. Please help me. So-and-so told me about your program and said how you're taking men off the street and you're providing for them and you're building them up. And that's what Joshua believed. Amen. Let me get to, my God, what time is it? Hallelujah. So listen to this. How do we do this, man? How do we get to a point like Joshua? First of all, step one is to consecrate yourselves. Say consecrate. It's the same thing as sanctifying yourself. Men, you need to consecrate yourselves. Amen. Consecrate yourself in the word of God. Joshua began with himself. As for me, he said, for me, the first and most important requirement is personal consecration. Leviticus, it says, you shall consecrate yourself, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy, your God. You shall keep my statutes and practice them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. God had to sanctify me before I could sanctify anybody else. Pastor here, he's been through some things. I don't even really know a whole lot about him, but I feel the anointing on his life. And because he has an anointing on his life, I know that he had to go through a process. Oh, y'all. He had to go through some things. Amen. And because he goes through some things, amen, he receives the anointing. Let me tell you something, church. It's really not about your gifts. Uh-oh. It really isn't. It really is about the anointing of God that needs to be on your life. Because listen to what is spoken in Isaiah. Amen. That you shall receive the anointing that the yokes will be destroyed. See, we got folks coming to church, but there ain't no yokes being destroyed. Oh, come on up. We got to, I'm not saying this church, not this church, but we got churches, amen, that because of the gifts, they have become entertainers. And so you don't want to become like that. Man, you want to get anointed. You need to go through a process. You need to go through, amen, coming to Bible class and coming through prayer and all of that. You need to do that. So that you can touch lives. So you can free the pastor up to that he might fulfill the vision, that he might receive the thing. He don't need to be feeding people. Amen? So he says, pick seven men among you that's filled, listen to this, that's filled with the Holy Ghost. Being filled with the Holy Ghost, sometimes it takes a process. Amen? So you need to consecrate yourselves. Amen. Amen. Step two is to consecrate your family. See, I had to get myself together. I had to get myself together. So I went to a program, amen, fulfilled that qualification of that program, that which was 1 year, and came home. And when I came home, I remember telling my wife, I said, for now on, I'm paying the rent. Because I ain't getting kicked out. So I had to get me a job. But the Lord blessed me. And I did. And then I, listen to this. Then I came to a church. And in that church, I learned how to sanctify myself. I went through some trials and tribulations, but I stuck with it. And I had other brothers, amen, that helped me through the process. So brothers, that's, I'm trying to, amen, challenge you, amen, to start going out, getting other brothers, bringing them in here, but you need to nourish them. The pastor said something that was very interesting. You might not have a child, but you're still a father. You're still part of the foundation. Am I right, Pastor? So that you could go out and receive some other men and bring them in. Amen. See, because sometimes we get contented in just being who we are, who we want to be. Oh, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. But how about your brother? How about your friend down the street? How about your neighbor? Do you speak into his life? I got a neighbor, amen, and he lives on the first floor. I live on the third floor, and I speak to him all the time, you know, and try to encourage him. And even today, I was getting ready. We was jumping in the car. He said, "Oh, happy Father's Day." He said, "Pastor, I'm going to get there. I'm going to get to church. I'm going to get to church, because guess what? See, he's being convicted. Because I text him. I'm a texter. I'm telling you, I'm a texter. So I text people. If you give me your telephone number, it's over. You're going to be like, I don't do group texts now. I don't do group texts. But, you know, I'm going to be texting you scriptures. I'm going to be encouraging you. I'm going to be telling you how great you are. I'm going to be telling you how God wants to use you. See, I want to use my smartphone to do smart things. How many understand what I'm saying? So I need to, listen, consecrate my family. I need to consecrate my family. How do I do that? Amen. Because I think a lot of times we got it wrong. And you know, here's a scripture, Acts. You don't have to turn to it. We don't have time. Acts 20:32. Amen. So you got to take a stand for who you belong to. Listen to what Joshua says, as for me and my house. So he consecrates himself, but now he consecrates his family. He speaks for his family. But how does he speak for his family? Because his family is behind him. He has, guess what, equipped them to be great as well. How many understand what I'm talking about? You want to equip your son. Where's Omar at? Hey, Omar, how you doing? See, I know Omar because guess what? Omar came up to me and he said, "Happy Father's Day." He made my day. And I said, "What's your name?" And he told me his name. And I said, "Do you know what your name means?" He said, "No." And I told him, I said, "Your name means prolong and long living." How do I know that? Because I used to be Omar. See, we grew up as Muslims. We were in the masjid and all that other stuff. I was imam in prison. So I know, you understand? You can look at me now, but you don't really know what I've been through. You don't know the process. And so I was able to bless him, and because he smiled when I told him, I said, it means long living. And he said, oh, yeah? Look at him. He's excited now. So you need to consecrate your family. Amen. You need to speak into their lives. Amen. Step 3. We need to consecrate ourselves to God. Amen. It must be practical, though. Amen. How do we continue to consecrate ourselves? Amen. We will continue to serve God. We must know and understand that to train for God's services, amen, secures the fullness of my salvation. Yes, I'm saved. Amen. But guess what? I need to continually stay in the process of me training myself to serve God. I was in a Bible college. I tell people, the church that I went to, amen, they had a Bible college, Jersey City Bible Institute. Amen. I went to that college for 12 years. It was my church, and it was something for me to do and something for me to learn and stay excited for. So every year I would sign up for Bible college, Bible courses, so that I could be prepared for my purpose. How many understand what I'm talking about? You need to start preparing yourself for your purpose. I needed to train my family, but I needed to be trained first. Now, God had used me in the world. You know, I was a so-called little musician and all that stuff. So, you know, but I was able to take that and give it to my son. So he became a piano player. Now he's a pastor. But do you understand what I'm saying? I consecrated myself, but I also consecrated my family. And then I stayed consecrated to the Lord. Number 4. You need to confess your decisions. What Joshua did was that he confessed his decision. He said to Israel, he said to the public, and that's what's really missing a lot of times in the church. We need to confess it to people. We need to confess it to our neighbors, who we are. Do your neighbor know who you are? Do your neighbor know that you're a man of God? So that when, guess what, you come around, amen, listen to this. When you come around, amen, they give you respect. When they come around, you go, I live in Newark, I live in the hood, so I see people, you know, they be having their little drink or whatever, they be cursing. But when I come, listen to this, men, you got to get this. When I come, Put that away. Put that away. You know why? Because wherever I go is holy ground. Wherever this pastor goes is holy ground. Because people know that. They know the anointing. They feel the anointing. I don't have to say who I am. See, the Holy Spirit will convict, but it's because of the consecration. Men, and I'm finished, start consecrating yourselves. Your wives will help you. Your wives will help you because they want you to be better. They want you to be there. They desire for you to be better. My wife is always telling me she's praying for me. And I said, why are you praying for me? She said, because I want you to be able to make godly decisions for us. Because, see, sometimes we step out of the boundary. And, it's just not me. But I have a wife. I have children. Well, they're all grown now. I'm a great-granddaddy. A great-granddaddy. Monday, I'll be 63 years old. God is good. I never thought I would live this long. So I'm finished. So, men, before we close out, I do want to pray for you. So I want to ask all the men to come up. Is that all right, Pastor? I want you to. Were you blessed on today? Huh? If you were blessed, give God some praise. Amen.